with James night? Can it be a fuck with James night?
Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts,
Salsa,
James,
and Jenna.
Oh, and yes, every night is fuck with James night.
I've noticed.
Let's just get straight to it.
Oh,
what y'all drinking?
We weren't sure.
Let's get straight to it. What y'all drinking?
Sure.
I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper with vanilla bean in it.
Ooh.
I'm for it.
I am about to be drinking a jar of Here's Mud in Your Eye from East Lake Brewery with some coffee poured into it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Cool. So it's going to be a late night for the James.
Here's hoping.
Yeah.
Yay.
I'm drinking Ben Rioch 17 years straight from the bottle. Because that's where we are right now.
Yeah. That is where we are.
Attaboy. Drink your medicine.
Yeah.
So, gentlemen, how does it feel to be at the epicenter of the end of the world?
I bought a pack of cigarettes today because I fucking needed them.
Where did you go for them?
All the way to Mendota Heights.
Yeah.
It was a 20-25 minute round trip. And to be fair, it wasn't the only reason I left the house. My wife was going to go out to the store yesterday for groceries and was like, "Oh, you haven't driven your car in a while. I should probably take your car so it actually gets some use," and discovered my battery was dead. Dead. So it's been on a trickle charger overnight, and today I was like, okay, let's give it a go, and it started up, but I was going to do a drive around to make sure that, you know, it can actually shake the rust out of the engine itself, you know. So I drove.
Yeah.
I drove about, you know, like I said, about a 20-25 minute round trip, I listened to podcast, which is something I haven't done in 2 months,
which
was fantastic. B, just to give my car a little bit of something to do for a little while. And I was like, while I'm out, I might as well grab a pack of cigarettes because, holy fuck, I'm going to be up again most of the night again tonight. So that.
Yeah.
Oh, also, when I finally when I put my car in reverse, I felt each wheel like unlock.
Oh.
And my brake pads were rusty. No, they basically all four of my tires had seized into place, and I literally felt all four of them pop loose as I was like, kind of that stop and light, is the parking brake on? No, okay, that was okay, here we go.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, my poor little car, who's been neglected, has finally gotten a little bit of exercise. And I am gearing up for another all-nighter.
Oh yeah. God. I asked that because Joe and I went to get cigarettes this weekend, and I was like, well, everything in our neighborhood is burned the fuck down.
Yep.
So I was like, let's try the gas station over by Salsa's. That might be out of radius enough. No.
Nope.
No, it was not.
Oh.
This isn't burned down, I don't think.
It did suffer some fire damage, but it was not burned down.
Well, and I think at the time that we went, it was just boarded up because they were like, fuck this.
Yeah.
We went on Saturday.
Yeah, it was Friday night. It was Friday night that it was hit.
Oh, was it? Okay.
Yeah, it was Friday night that they hit that. Yeah, just so for those not, you know, not understanding what we're talking about here.
We are international on news, by the way.
I live across the street from this beautiful little creek. Okay, so there's my house, there's the street in front of my house, and the creek. And on the other side of the creek is the gas station. It is 300 yards from my house. And yeah, and it was hit. So it's close. It's real fucking close.
Very good at this joke.
We didn't hear the joke because you glitched out. So.
Well, you glitched out. You were frozen. James and I were still talking.
Well, that's fair, but yep. I'm the one recording, so my perspective is
the
one.
As far as the audience is concerned.
Exactly.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So yeah, it's pretty close. Station. Yeah, pretty close. I think the creek is honestly the thing that's keeping us protected at the moment. But that doesn't mean that we haven't seen a bunch of cars with no front license plate driving past our house today.
It's so fucking scary.
And for those out-of-staters who don't know what that means, Minnesota is a front license plate state. You need a front and back license plate. So if you have a car with Minnesota plates on the back but no front plate, that license plate is stolen. And they're not from here.
Yep.
So it's pretty scary.
Yeah, maybe we should do a recap just in case. Like, I know that the world right now knows what's happening.
That's probably fair.
But maybe we should recap.
For posterity. Anybody.
Well, you know, maybe that. You want me to go? You guys want to go? I'll do it. Okay.
I'm drinking. You do it.
Awesome. That's a good choice. Yeah. So, anyway, to get people, quote-unquote, up to speed, we recorded our last podcast last Monday. Mm-hmm. Another thing that happened last Monday is that a black guy was killed by a cop.
Yeah.
No matter which way you look at it, whether it was quote unquote unintentional or not, he fucking did it. Yeah, there is a black man dead because of a cop. And we all have a pretty good idea around that. But of course, the case hasn't been tried yet, so we can't say officially, blah, 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 whatever, jerk off. So, yeah, since that happened, so, that Monday night, we were recording and I believe, he died like probably a couple hours before we recorded. I think it was like 4 or 5 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Word got around, somebody caught it on camera. A couple of people caught it on camera. There were a couple of different camera angles. And the cops were like, we didn't do anything. It was an unfortunate mishap, and filed a thing, and then videos surfaced, and people were like, wait a minute. What happened, was that the main officer in question here, decided to detain this individual by kneeling on his neck. And he kneeled on his neck for 8 minutes. All the while this guy, I should have given a content warning for this.
Consider this your content warning.
Pretty terrifying.
I will try to put one on the show notes and stuff.
So, yeah. But this guy for a while was stating that he couldn't breathe. That he was dying, and then he stopped saying anything, and the cop continued to kneel on his neck. This is weird. I know how to choke somebody because I need to know how to do that for stage combat purposes.
You need to know how to do it to not kill them.
So that I can provide realism in a dramatic sense. And to prevent the actual choking of individuals. This was definitely, it takes a long time to choke somebody to death. And that is basically what happened. It was 8 minutes, and that is enough time for sure. Funny thing about when you kill somebody and it's caught on cameras that are then distributed to the public, by, you know, via Facebook or whatever, is that the public gets a little upset about this. And there have been, I'm going to separate this out into some different groups as we're describing this. There has been basically a vigil area stationed over by where this guy was killed. His name is George Floyd. You should remember this because it's important. There is a vigil station set up. They've basically blocked off that intersection. And what people have done there, they have created a mural.
I think we lost her again. Internet is being spotty for various reasons, so please bear with us in this episode as we try to get that sorted out. Hopefully we can get them back soon. Otherwise, I will be forced to play more Girl from Ipanema, and nobody wants that. All right, I warned you.
James, are you talking?
I said it looks like we might be back up and running.
Yep, we're back.
Okay.
Sorry about that. Apparently, internet is going to be shitty tonight, so we'll deal with what we deal with. Where we left off, Jenna, you were saying that they were building a mural. You ended on they are making a mural at that intersection, and that's where we lost you.
Okay. So the intersection is closed off. They have made a gorgeous mural in his memory, and several other forms of art surrounding it, as if an art city would do a lot of art. But there's also been a whole lot of chalk art on the street.
Yeah.
Like I said, they basically closed off that intersection. There have been people there almost nonstop, just holding space and holding vigil for this. So there is the vigil. I'm going to that I'm going to keep in its own separate bubble because I feel like it is important. Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan called it sacred space. And I feel like it is very important to remember that that space right now is sacred space. It is where people are gathering in memory and to reflect and all of that. So that vigil stuff started happening on Tuesday, and throughout Tuesday. And then there were some people, that started there, that held a protest there, right? Protesting, Minneapolis Police Department, brutality, not being held accountable for things, very specifically in relation to the deaths of black people in our town, country, all over. So they had a protest, and I tuned in for some of it, and it was very powerful and uplifting, and people telling their stories about black people talking about their run-ins, and remembering other black people that have died under the hand of police officers. So that protest started there at the site of the vigil, and then moved towards the Third Precinct building. The officer was part of Third Precinct. Death happened in Third Precinct. And these people moved over to the Third Precinct building to be more shouty. And I don't say that to make light of it. No. I just, there is no way that I could encapsulate the feelings that were happening there. So Yeah, so they went there, and there was more shouting protest type things, and time starts to blur just a little bit here. I don't believe any aside from like graffiti, if I'm remembering correctly. I don't believe anything was any buildings were actually destroyed that night. And the keen listener will be aware, wait, didn't happen that night? No, because the protesting came back after everybody was dispersed in various forms. And I don't remember at which point, if it was Tuesday night or Wednesday night, that after protesters, you know, they did graffiti. I think there was some throwing of those cheap plastic water bottles, which, yeah, that's annoying, but whatever. But there were officers lined up around the Third Precinct building to protect it, I guess, from all of these people that were very correctly shouting. And they, yeah, so somewhere in there, either Tuesday night or Wednesday night, the officers started with tear gas. They sent tear gas out into the middle of this protest.
Mm-hmm.
There were, I know they were using rubber bullets. And these protesters were not attacking any individuals. They were not at the point that this happened, and I do remember this very specifically. At the point that this happened, the tear gas came first. And it was later after that that buildings started to get destroyed. Now, when I say buildings started to get destroyed, so we have our protesters, right? I want to, and I've been thinking about this all week, trying to help separate this out because it is a very large and complex situation that's developed here. There are the protesters. Sometimes protesters riot, right? As a form of trying to be heard when they are not being heard, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've, you know, if you say please 18 million times and you don't get any response, you might get a little more aggressive.
Especially when your life depends on it, yeah.
Yeah, so there are protesters, some of whom might be rioters. However, also in this situation, there have been more and more people that are not black, and that is not to say that people of all other colors couldn't be protesters, but I want to be clear that most of the times that I have seen damage done to anything in this situation, it has been started mm-hmm. by a white person. But there are, so there are protesters, there are a subsection of rioters that can be within a protest or a group of protesters. There will also in these situations be people that are like, oh, hey, it's a crowd. It's a crowd that's all riled up and angry. Let's go destroy some shit. And they might think that for a variety of reasons. They might actively think that that's helpful, which would start to classify them in the protester camp. Or they could just be agitators and instigators of chaos, basically.
Agents provocateur.
Yep. These people, you know, maybe they have a different message that they're trying to get across. Maybe they are just trying to cause havoc. The problem with this group, this, and calling it a group is weird because it could be other various specific groups, mm-hmm. but I'm for reasons of classification, I'm calling them the chaos group because they may have
sure.
different reasons, good, bad, or otherwise, probably bad, for trying to instigate more chaos around this situation. Here's the thing. And here is what's bothering me, and then I'll go into the rest of the week. But what bothers me about that is you have taken a tragedy that mm-hmm. protesters are trying to get a message out about that message.
Mm-hmm.
You are now co-opting their movement for me. That is absolute bullshit, and it pisses me right the fuck off.
Mm-hmm.
Dishonor the mm-hmm. name of George Floyd by doing that. So that is, as we start to see, going from Tuesday and Wednesday night, things started to escalate. And then Thursday night, things got pretty big. They burned the third precinct building down. And it was after the cops had left. And there was Mayor Frey. Oh, God, that poor guy.
He looked like, whether you think fairly
he's
frazzled.
Good at himself or not, that's just a shitty fucking position to be in.
Yeah, he looked pretty frazzled.
Yeah, he's. I would too.
Oh, I would not look half as calm as he was.
Oh,
but...
God, I would be shouting at everybody right now. This is why I'm not in public office.
Oh, yeah. No,
he's doing a way better job of managing his emotions over this than I am.
The thousand yard stare. Has been kind of his look for the past few days. Whereas, I would be vein popping out of the forehead.
Yeah, somebody made a comment like, "Man, he looks like he hasn't slept in days," and I'm like, "He probably fucking hasn't because he cares about this city."
Yeah.
So anyway, Thursday night they burned down the third precinct building. There was nobody in it. Yeah. But then from there, people. Started mm-hmm. burning and looting other buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think that there is a bit of a difference between looting and burning.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there can be a place and a time for both, honestly. But when another group starts doing that as a way of trying to co-opt the movement...
Mm-hmm.
That angers me. I'm trying to keep that mm-hmm. down. So there has been basically what happened is the burning and looting got to be a bit much. First they started with the things that were getting burned down were more corporate business things.
Mm-hmm.
There was and the liquor store. That's just sad, you guys. Don't fucking burn down my booze store.
Yeah.
No, I'm angry. Like Target and Cub and big corporate things.
The Verizon store. Wendy's.
Things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where that started, was more corporate. Then it started to become more small business.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
And what's really interesting about that, like, and here for me, like, I could feel a build from Tuesday to Thursday, and mm-hmm. I could feel the energy, and I could feel a build in the pressure for the message.
Mm-hmm.
Friday night had a very different feel to it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think it was just because the National Guard was called in, although that probably didn't help.
It was also the curfew was instigated.
Mm-hmm.
Not Friday night, I don't think.
It was Friday night.
Yep.
Oh.
It was Friday night.
Yep.
Okay.
It was. So, yeah, what happened was there was enough chaos and damage that happened on Thursday night. National Guard was called in. And they did actually arrest the one guy that was obviously killing George, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They arrested him and gave him some charges and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, my hope had been that some of the destruction and stuff would die down because a portion of the... And not stop. I didn't think it was going to stop. I was just hoping some of that, you know... Okay, well, they arrested this guy. We're moving forward. There's something, right?
There's formal charges against the target of our ire, so...
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I mean, there's the three other cops that stood around.
The primary yeah. embodiment of the yeah. focus of the ire.
Yes. So at that point, National Guard was called in because there are small businesses burning all up and down Lake Street. Mm-hmm. And there is a huge desire to, number one, protect life. But number two, mm-hmm. protect these small business owners from losing their livelihood when they're already probably suffering because of a pandemic. Oh, yeah, you guys, did you still remember there's a pandemic going on right now?
In case you forgot, yeah.
Yeah.
I almost forgot to wear a mask on Saturday. I was like, oh, fuck, right, could die from that instead. Well, let's see what happens. Yeah, Friday night was scary. Nobody liked it. Saturday night for me was the scariest.
Agreed.
I ended up on Saturday night. I was staying at Joe's. Now I live a little over a block away from Lake Street, where all of this is happening. Mm-hmm. And we had a bunch of things burned down over Thursday night, and then Friday night. And the thing about the businesses along Lake Street where I live is that so many of them are small business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So many of them are a lot of like mercados. There's a Mexican ice cream parlor a little bit down the way yeah. that I hear is phenomenal, but it's dairy. So, yeah. you know, and there's all of these, and Friday night they burned down. Basically, it's strip mall is the best term I have for it, although that it's just, you know, building of shops.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that burned down Friday night, and that's when I went, oh, that's not good. Saturday night was creepy. Mm-hmm. It was, yeah. There were many fewer fires that happened Saturday night, but a lot more gunshots. And yeah. banging noises.
Now, that, as you recall it, I think James might be right. I think Saturday might have been the start of the curfew.
Nope, it was Friday.
Okay.
I guarantee it.
I believe you. I'm just trying to remember that.
We can look it up as long.
We'll believe you, but the whole sequence yeah. of events has kind of started to become to... It's. Nope. Does everybody remember that malaise that you felt when you couldn't remember what day it was for the last 2 months of the curfew?
Yeah.
Imagine all yep. of that not knowing what day it is condensed into 1 week. That's been our lives here for a little bit.
Yeah.
Anyway, proceed.
But yeah, so Saturday night I was at Joe's. Jessa opted to stay here. And I was like, do you want me to stay here? And she was like, go, I'll be fine. I'm like, all right, my little girl's an adult. So I was at Joe's, and while I was there, at one point we heard three rapid fire gunshots, real fucking close. And turns out that there was a guy that shot at an officer, about 100 feet from Joe's front door. So that was scary. It was, and they were caught and arrested immediately. Mm-hmm. And there was no return fire. Mm-hmm. So that. But yeah, so that happened. Also, there was a very large gathering of people along 31st. Apparently, they didn't like the burning smell of Lake Street. I don't know why they moved to the next one down, but. And we could hear all of it happening. We could hear chanting coming. We could hear it move. They started to go south and basically towards Powderhorn Park proper. Mm-hmm. And there were loud bangs and noises just all over the place that night. And it was weird because it was quiet, and then you would hear a bang.
By the way, just to interject for a second, because this isn't already fucking crazy, they started heading towards Powderhorn Park, which was where the literal robe-wearing KKK were gathered.
I have not. I guess that's another part that I want to get into. Have you seen pictures or anything to actually?
They were not actually wearing the bed sheets, but there were was gatherings of white supremacists with tattoos.
Do you have a source?
I saw pictures go past my screen at 4 a.m. So I cannot swear to the validity of that.
Right. Because, and this actually gets into the second portion of the conversation. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. That,
yeah. When there is so much going on and so much stealth and then suddenly hearing noises, everybody wants to know what's going on, which makes sense. Mm-hmm. And there are some people that are like, I think it's this. And then somebody else will be like, I heard it's this. And then suddenly it's this.
Suddenly it becomes confirmed cases, yeah.
Yeah. Which is why I'm trying to be as much of a stickler about confirmation source, things like that.
I agree with that. On the other hand, from a standpoint of this was my emotional state at 2 a.m., when I was standing inside my house with a fire extinguisher just in case.
Right.
You know, like those are important additions to let you know just how fucking scary things have been. But yes, no, I do understand your point. I don't want to diminish that at all. Please, you know, apologize if that is how
you're cutting it out.
Sorry. What I was saying is, can you hear me?
No, I
can hear
you talking. You are frozen, and then you finished your thing, and then you kind of cut in and out.
Okay.
But I am trying to make a very specific point here.
Yeah.
Which is, while we're in the middle, unconfirmed rumors can cause serious difficulties. Mm-hmm. And that's not to say that. If you hear about something, you shouldn't report it and say, hey, thought I heard something over here or things like that. But the more unsubstantiated rumors and thoughts that people need, that any officials need to track down, the more complicated it gets and the harder that is for everybody.
Right. Would you be willing if I said, reports of?
I would say rumors of, unless there is a confirmation, but that doesn't negate your emotional state.
Right. I'm trying to find
that I'm trying to get to, Salsa, is that with all of these rumors, they cause more emotional panic and they cause more disruption and more chaos. Mm-hmm. You hear this rumor and it might sound very solid. And it may or may not be true. And that's the hardest part of all of this, is that you do not know what is going on. Nothing is for sure. Nothing is guaranteed. Even if somebody has a source, it might be a wrong source or somebody creating more chaos. So this all contributes to the state of chaotic, not knowing what's going on. It builds anxiety, it builds frustration, it builds all of these other emotions that are so difficult when you're already afraid that, like, a stray bullet is going to get you or a fire is going to spread to your house.
Yeah.
James, you've got your finger up.
I do, because to add on and reinforce that point, I was all set to make a Facebook post about a video that I found of rioters filming police smashing their own car in Boston.
Yep.
It was video. You were watching uniformed officers taking batons to their windows, and the person filming was saying, "We're watching. We're filming you doing this. There's proof that you are destroying your own car. You can't blame this on us." And like, that's deeply upsetting. And I went to find the source of that. And I found that someone had recorded a longer video that included the person filming, and it started with people jumping on the car and breaking the windshields, or breaking the windscreen and the windows, and busting up the hood in such a way that the officers, in order to drive the car away, had to remove the windows, including the windscreen. And I don't like that. I don't want to believe that protesters are doing that, or that someone would do something as insidious as setting up that situation and then filming and yelling over it, or using ADR to put a voice over it.
Right. But
check your sources, find more than one, and be sure, because while it is incredibly important that we spread information, it is incredibly important, just as Jenna said, that we spread good information.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I will say, I did also hear about multiple, you know, eyewitness reports of KKK.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily Powderhorn, although that was one of the places that I heard of. And I was like, oh, goody, they're right over there at the end of this block. Hooray. But yeah, like it's, there have also been, misinformation, much of it so well-intentioned, right? Because people mm-hmm. want to help, they want to provide information, they want to,
mm-hmm.
and you know, you hear a rumor and you propagate it and you think you're helping and you may or may not be, you know? But yeah, so anyway, Saturday night happened. That is what I, in my brain, have dubbed the long night. Because it did very much so.
Damn it.
Okay, so where did we leave off? I did have another thing I was going to get to in all of it.
I don't even know anymore.
Y'all nominated me to talk. I'm
Saturday
talking.
Night, you said, was the long night.
Yes.
Yeah.
We were on the long night.
Yeah. Yeah. So Saturday night was the long night. Because you didn't know what was going to come at you from where, if it was going to come at you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically just listening for things. Right? Because everything's dark. Everything's... Yeah. Anyway, but the other thing that I wanted to talk about was... So, you know, we're trying to talk about the difference between rumors and reports. But there, it is very important to give what information you do have. Very specifically, this is where things start to get a little bit murky. But... When we talk about those chaos groups, the groups that are co-opting this for their own benefit or their own chaos or their own whatever, there have been enough arrests from people out of state that it is concerning. And I've heard different numbers depending on who said it. There have been several vehicles that have out-of-state license plates driving around, and alluding to what Salsa said earlier, without plates at all, or having stolen some Minnesota plates to drive around. I'm not sure how much of that is or isn't accurate, but at least some of it is, and that is kind of enough, that there are people doing this. I have also heard rumors, I did see a picture somebody took of some bricks that had been set out. One of the rumors that seems more substantiated, although I refuse to call it a report at this point, is that there are agents of destruction pre-setting out things to use in their destruction. Pallet of bricks was a picture that I saw. Mm-hmm. People are talking about accelerants being hidden in various places. Just any kind of things that'll make it easier to get into a building or open it up, break a window, whatever, start shit on fire, and then leave again. Which is why so much of our neighborhood is burned down. And the people that are the chaos creators in this, it's also said KKK. I fully believe that they're here. I can't report that, but I can say, there's KKK. White supremacists. The Boogeyman Boys. Boogeyman Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All spruced up in their Hawaiian shirts. Weird. Really fucking weird shirts, guys.
The mindset is rather weird to try to wrap your head around.
But yeah, so there are definitely chaos groups in Minneapolis and St. Paul starting shit. Mm-hmm. That is a thing that is verified. How many, to what extent, the data isn't there yet.
Yeah.
We just don't know. But there are at least some, and that is enough. And in the words of Joe Ye, get the fuck out of my state. We can burn our own goddamn city down. So Saturday night happened. That was, to me, the long night. Sunday night was quieter overall. There were some fires that rekindled, which is why it smells like burning all up in this house. The fire that was closest to this house was about 500 feet away, which is terrifying. And that was Uncle Hugo's, which is a very beloved used science fiction bookstore in the area.
Yeah.
For much of the Twin Cities, actually. They've been established for like 40 years, I think.
Yeah.
And then just all down that street, Popeyes. They burned Popeyes down. And that one hit me a little hard because I got Popeyes on Friday. And then Friday night, Popeyes was burned down. I am all up in this neighborhood no matter which house I'm staying at. But there's fires over here, so it's at least prettier in my place than the gunshots over at Joe's. And we will see things. We do have a delayed curfew tonight. So instead of 8 o'clock, it's 10 o'clock. That's pretty much the talk, I think. Gentlemen, feel free to pick a point and continue, or have a nervous breakdown, or cry, weep openly, whatever.
Sorry, but I was on mute again. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't think that there's anything that I can
add. Did he disappear?
I have completely lost audio on James.
James, I can't hear you.
Okay.
Whoa, now we got a weird buzz on you.
Oh. Okay. Can
James,
you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but suddenly, I got like a buzzing sound. Hmm. Weird. Hmm. You're good now.
Is it gone now? Okay. All right.
You're good now.
More
or less.
Most of what I could say has already been said by Jenna far better than I can. What I will say is for us where I am, a block away from the 5th Precinct, Friday night was a very long night for us. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced anything like that in my life, but I know that other people deal with that every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate this. I want justice. I want the peace that comes with justice and not just returning to the status quo.
I have a few things to mention here and there. One being the box stores were burned and then the small businesses the next night. And I think that speaks a lot to when it went from rioting in anger to rioting to start shit. You know, that was that was where the transition kind of was happening. Mm. Because, like, you had books. There was a bookstore, locally owned, bookstore, literally next door to the 3rd Precinct. Literally next door. And the 3rd Precinct burned. And that bookstore didn't even have a broken window.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, that. There was anger, and it was directed at, you know, where the injustice was coming from, you know. Numerous restaurants and other small businesses that were, you know, many protesters were physically protecting. And then it like we said, more of the provocateurs, you know, showed up. And that is when we had a lot of those small businesses really starting to feel the pinch. But it was really interesting while all that was going on to see all of those, you know, the owners of those small businesses, even when their restaurant is, you know, burning, standing there saying, "Let it burn, justice must be served." You know, it's just a building.
Yeah.
You know, like that spoke a lot to what what was important here. You know, what's important here is somebody is dead. And things are replaceable, and people are not. You know.
And something that I did just remember also was that there was an enormous rally, which took place on major roadways. On was it Sunday?
Sunday.
Yeah, it was yesterday.
Sunday.
No, yesterday. Whatever.
Yeah. Just like you said, things blend together and are difficult
right.
to
yeah.
keep track of. And someone drove into them with a semi-tanker truck. And as best as people are able to ascertain, the rumor is that it was supposed to be to harm people and to cause massive death and destruction and disruption. And purportedly that person's text messages to that effect were read out in video, but that's until it's, you know, part of legal history, you know, until there's proof, we don't know.
The fallout for this is going to be years, probably. But I think the other important thing to say is that all of this has been happening at night, and during the day there have been the protesters out there, and they have been cleaning, and they have been sweeping streets, and they have been there was a call put out for 80 bags of food for some kids in one area near the epicenter who, you know, because all the food stores had burned down, were kind of in a food desert, and they asked for 80 bags of food. And now there is a parking lot fucking full of food. You know, this community has, really getting down to what it is the community has been working together to do whatever they can to make things better. You know, this is you know, to use that phrase, this is the picture the media won't show you. Is all of that. You know, there is a now famous picture of Spider-Man sweeping the street. It's pretty fantastic. Actually, throw this out there. There's a local artist who works for Marvel, who drew a picture of Spider-Man sweeping the street, and the broken window behind him is in the shape of Minnesota. And he's selling prints of that, and all proceeds go to one of the local organizations for rebuilding small businesses around here. I will try to find that link and send that out, because it was pretty fantastic.
I did remember one other thing that I was going to bring up.
Okay. Can I finish quick, or? What I did want to say, though, is I didn't want it to sound like I was hijacking your point earlier.
Right.
But I do want to go back to the emotional state of
yep.
where all of this has been. For me personally, you know, we're talking about the long night. That was a long night for me, because I didn't sleep all night. You know, I was up literally all night. My wife and I said we were going to take shifts, and then I just let her sleep. Because, fuck it, I wasn't going to sleep. But I was up all night, you know, watching out the window. You know, because we have had cars, you know, pull UEs in the intersection in front of my house with, again, no front plates, things like that. It has been very tense, and especially with a lot of the uncertainties. You know, there are the facts, and then there are the rumors, and it's hard to know which of those rumors are true and which of those are not. And with the gas station 300 yards from my door being torched the night before, who knows? Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
And so it's been very, very scary. You know, and it's been sitting up all night, keeping an eye on things with a fire extinguisher and a bucket of water in case things go bad. And if things go worse, then we have our bug out bags packed and, you know, a plan. You know, my wife and I have talked about who's getting which kid and who's grabbing what, you know. And so that's the emotional state. Like I said, I bought a pack of cigarettes. I haven't smoked a pack of cigarettes since you know, festival season ended in October. And I was like, I can't go a third night without a cigarette. So the emotions have been very raw. And this is coming from a white dude.
Yeah, you know, I think that's an excellent point.
I'm scared. So I cannot imagine what's going on for the people that are on Lake Street. You know? I can't fathom that. And it breaks my heart. And I want this all to end, and I want all of those officers arrested and charged and thrown in jail for the rest of their natural lives, and I want healing to begin. Because I...
Well, and I think that kind of piggybacks on another topic that has been brought up a lot, which is that we can't go back to normal.
Nope.
We can't go back to the previous normal.
No, God, no.
Because the previous normal is Minnesota having one of the worst income disparities between white people and black people. We can't go back to that. We have one of the worst records for charging officers with misconduct.
Mm-hmm.
We can't go back to that.
Nope.
And we do need to. My baby daddy, you guys. My baby daddy is a delightful individual from rural Minnesota. He is a very well-intentioned, a very sweet guy, but he also has maybe not as much experience with the world as some of us do. And I don't want it to sound dumb. He just, you know, they don't have black people over there. So it's like, huh?
Right.
Yeah. Like, he just doesn't have the experience with it. And I was talking with him, and he was like, have you, like, so I was hearing this thing about how, you know, one of the things that we have as a part of white privilege is white comfort. Have you ever heard of this? And I'm like, oh, sweetie. Oh, honey. Okay. But but white comfort being the idea that we get comfortable with the way things are. We feel safe in the way things are. And we can't promote that white comfort if we're not going to bring up our other minorities and let them feel safe. We can't be happy with that white comfort if we can't bring other people up to that as well. So yeah, that was one of the things, one of the 18 million topics to come out of all of this stuff is we can't go back to what was previously normal. But I do want everybody to feel safe and not just us white people. There's a couple of other things that came up while you were talking, because of course my brain's going. The first thing is that we were talking about how during the daytime there's cleanup, and then, like, I can actually tell the time of day now depending on what noises are going on outside of my house. Like, in the morning, I know there's cleanup efforts, and I can hear people being like, can I help? And, like, this, that, and the other thing, just over on Chicago. You know, and things like that. And then things get quieter around 3 o'clock, you know, and then chanting starts. Protesting starts around 3, 4 o'clock. And then that gets louder and more, whatever. Curfew hits, or, you know, nighttime falls. And that's when you get more and more, like, sirens and then gunshots or whatever else. And then you're just up until 4 in the morning because you can't sleep because it's scary noises all over the place. And then...
Yeah,
like... So, like, there is an actual pattern to this that exists right now. But the other thing I wanted to say was that Minnesota is not the only place protesting.
Yeah.
This incident, and I think this incident very specifically became so, like, the instigating spark kind of a thing.
The catalyst.
To the rest of the nation protesting. There are protests in, like, 25, 30 different cities. And also have some protesting at the White House.
Including different countries in Japan and Germany and stuff, there's been protests.
I've heard New Zealand as well, yeah. But I think there were a couple of different factors that contributed to that.
Right.
One of which is, Jesus Christ, we haven't been listening to our black people, and they're getting real goddamn tired of dying. But I think that George Floyd's death was so visceral. Watching that was excruciating.
Yeah.
And we literally got to see that, and that is an emotional hard. Also, we're in the middle of a pandemic. There are a lot of people without jobs right now. And that, of course, disproportionately affects the black population, because they don't have work from home jobs. Yeah, like, there is a lot of factors that I think kind of contributed to this being a spark that just caught across the nation and across the world. I was going to say something about Trump, but I've decided not to.
I can't
even right now. Oh, my fucking god, I can't.
No, I.
Anyway.
Yeah. It's been interesting. And we could literally talk for hours, and I'm using literally in the correct, you know, use. We could go on for hours about this topic because, like we said, it has been our lives for the past week. You know, there's a lot of raw emotion and a lot to say and a lot that's probably better left unsaid. So I think because this is apropos of nothing, I want to end this segment on a lighter note. And that is that, so like I said, the past few nights, my wife and I have been keeping 24-hour watch basically. And on Saturday night, it was, I just pulled an all nighter. And last night, my wife made me promise to wake her up at a certain point, 'cause I had to be at work today. And so at 2 o'clock, I woke her up and I went to bed. And this morning at about 4:30, Raiderly gave the newspaper delivery man a heart attack that he won't forget. it was one of those nightmare scenarios where a van pulls up to the corner in front of our house. And the person in the passenger seat hops out and runs up the street carrying something. And so as he's walking back towards the van, my wife goes, basically, you know, confronts him and, "What are you doing? You know, camera phone on, like, what's up? what are you up to?" And the poor guy was like, "I'm delivering the newspaper." And she was like, "Okay. Carry on." she about shit bricks. He about shit bricks. It was a moment.
I do have one more amusing anecdote.
Oh, please,
if I may.
Yes.
So Saturday daytime, it was about 4 o'clock afternoon. I'm at Joe's house, and his neighbors start to gather to have like a little conversation about, you know, safety things. What are they going to do in this, in certain instances? If somebody's keeping watch, exchanging phone numbers, hosing down yards, and things like that. Like, these are the things that you can do. Lock up your trash cans, blah, blah, blah. Nothing is safe, but it, you know, prevents opportunity.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. And so we kind of finished with the meeting portion of it, and people are standing a decent distance amount away from each other and just kind of having some conversation and stuff like that. And Joe's getting a little agitated, a little antsy.
Like he does. Like,
yeah, and then he was like, "Well, fuck this." And he goes inside, and he opens his windows, and at full blast, he starts cranking Flogging Molly.
I love your boyfriend,
music.
By the way.
Huh?
I love your boyfriend, by the way.
Yeah, me too. I hope in different ways. Don't answer that. So he starts cranking Flogging Molly, and then he comes back out, just arms full of booze bottles. And he's like, "Who wants some booze?" And so he starts, like, and he had a sheaf of plastic cups, and he starts pouring out booze for neighbors. That was about the time his roommate got home. And she's like, "What's all this?" And I'm like, "Joe's just being the bartender of the apocalypse." And she's like, "Cool, can I have some?" Like, just, you know, beautiful. But yeah, that was, Joe's like, "I feel better now because I'm serving people booze."
When Joe comes out with his solo album, if Bartender of the Apocalypse is not the title of the album, I will be personally disappointed.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? Well, people are talking about he should get a superhero cape. That should be his superhero name. I'm like, I'm not quite right.
No capes.
No capes. But yeah, like, it's definitely his title now is the Bartender of the Apocalypse.
Yeah, I feel like the uniform for the Bartender of the Apocalypse would be a little more Jessica Jones, you know, kind of street level grunge, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, he would rock those jeans.
Yeah.
He's got a cute butt.
Oh yeah, no, he has a body for tight jeans.
Yeah. He doesn't like them, but he does have a body for them.
Oh.
All right, you guys discuss amongst yourselves.
No, I think we're going to take a break and then because shit. And when we come back, we'll do something that is completely different than this, and we'll do, you know, our usual shenaniganery. So we'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And thank Christ, it's a Fast Five.
Fast Five.
For full disclosure, I did look this one over very briefly just to make sure it was going to be nice and benign before I dove into it.
Another one of those apocalypse teams ones.
Like, yeah, exactly. Something may have slipped by me. I did do a quick run through because I didn't want to affect my own choices too much, but I did look through them very briefly. So that's my full disclosure. Let's get into this. Today's Fast Five comes to us from Ash Stedham.
Stedham.
All right. Ash says, "Hi, people. Hope life is treating you halfway decent. It's been a bit. Here is a Fast Five. Question number one.
Yay!
Physical or figurative?"
I mean, Joe does have a real nice figurative. We were just talking about his figurative earlier.
That's true.
I'm gonna go figurative.
Yeah?
Just because I've said it a lot now, so I guess that's the one I'm going with.
Psychological satiation.
Yeah, exactly.
I think I'm going to say physical, because I like having a physical thing to work with. And maybe I enjoy puzzle games more, because there are more possibilities. Ah, damn. Figurative. Damn it. Talked myself out of it.
That's okay, James, because I'm still going to go with physical.
Thank you.
Physical.
Is it physical or psychical?
I can't read.
This might be psychical, actually.
Psychical.
PSYCHICAL. And I'm not sure if that's a typo or if it's supposed to be psychical.
Psychiatrist.
I'm going to go with either it's physical or psychical. I'm going to go with that one.
All right.
Okay. Apologies. Question number two.
Thank you.
Run or swim?
I don't run. So I'm going to go swim.
I love swimming. I love it. I love it a lot more than running.
I fucking can't stand running. I wrestled in high school, and that was how we lost weight, and I can't stand running. As long as by swimming they mean splashing around in the water and not, like, laps, because if it's laps, then no. But I like going to the beach.
Yeah, I like playing in the water.
It's one of the few things that is actually worth doing when it's hot out, because then you're not so hot.
Splashy fun. Splashy fun. Splashy fun.
Okay. So, yeah, I'm going to swim.
Okay.
All right. Question number 3.
Yay.
Vertical or horizontal?
Wow. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm going horizontal, baby.
Really? Vertical is
there is
fun
the old
sometimes.
Joke. Baptists can't have sex standing up because God might think they're dancing.
That's adorable. I like that.
I will allow it.
I mean, there was the time that Bill and I were doing it, banged up against the bookshelf. I've told this story a million times.
and that's kind of where... But, shower sex...
Basically, I'm lazy, so lying down is great.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more options available when you're horizontal. But I think there's something to be said for just slamming them up against a wall and going at it.
Salsa, ever the romantic.
On your head, yeah.
But I think I, much like James in the last one, I think I talked myself into going horizontal with the more options. So there's I'm pissed off now because there is a, I can't remember their name, there's a singing group who performs at a gathering of rogues and ruffians. They are an all-female a cappella group who just fantastic music, but a lot of their music is bawdy, and they've got one song in which both people, both voices in the song, are complaining about how rough their day has been and how they're tired and they've been on their feet, and they're like, we can do this, but I want to be on the bottom. And the refrain, on the bottom, I want to be on the bottom, and it's just the two of them arguing about which one gets to be on the bottom. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's lovely.
So I'm going horizontal.
I fucking hate vertical blinds.
I hate horizontal blinds.
I hate vertical
blinds.
If I have to choose between the two, Venetian. Horizontal.
Okay.
So we're all horizontal?
Seems to be.
Hey.
All right.
It's a good place to be.
Question number 4. Muppets or anime?
Muppets.
Oh, fuck off.
Huh?
Because the question is going to be like, which remake of the movie Clue would be better?
Have not seen that one.
Well, it doesn't exist.
No,
it doesn't exist.
That was.
Huh. Or, it's going to be something like that. And,
Muppets.
If it's anime, I guess if it's Muppets, Tim Curry could still reprise his role.
Yes.
But it would be a Muppet Tim Curry.
No, I think everybody else is a Muppet except for Tim Curry, who remains Tim Curry.
Because Tim Curry is Tim Curry.
Yeah.
Stop
but fair.
I am going to go with anime just because the breadth of content is so much bigger.
Yeah.
I feel
they have an entire nation making anime.
there is humorous anime, and there is psychological thriller anime, and there is horror anime, and there is sexy time anime, and there is like fucking what were they smoking anime. And so I think just based on the breadth of stuff, I feel like I could get through the Muppets stuff in a few days, whereas anime would take me years. So for that reason, I'm going anime.
I'm fairly certain, but not 100% sure, that I would not like to see Muppet Hentai.
I mean, that's Avenue Q, isn't it?
Oh, I suppose it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty
close.
It is.
That's a great show.
It is puppet, not Muppet.
It is not. It is not exactly.
Jeff Knuckles just raised his eyebrows at you, and he doesn't know why right now.
It is not exactly.
Why am I even looking over there?
It is not exactly that, but it is figuratively that.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. Question.
Muppets.
Okay, Muppets. James, I'm going anime. Jenna, you said Muppets.
Yes.
Okay. Question number 5.
Bing.
Math or language?
They're similar.
They are similar. Usually Fast Fives are similar, James. That's kind of how these fucking work.
Is there any context for this?
No. Oh my god.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to our final episode of Apropos.
I am going to go math. I think I am very much so about the data, and will try to prove something with data and fact, rather than speaking my way through it without that. You know, some people are charismatic and can convince people of something without actual evidence. But I am much more of a fact person.
I like word problems. It's much easier for me to figure out the answer to a word problem in mathematics than it is for me to solve one that is just purely numbers. So it seems like language is the more important part to me.
You're wrong, but that's okay.
I...
Paul has made his peace with that.
Drink. I am going to say I love maths, and numbers do what I tell them, and I am somebody who hosts a Pi Day party every year at my house.
Ooh, this is a solid point.
But I am also someone who is fluent in two languages and has studied two other languages. And so I think I need to go with...
Salsa, what is your degree in?
Fine arts. Which one? I actually have two. I have a fine arts degree. I got a fine arts degree first, and then I got a computer science degree.
Oh, I didn't know about the computer science degree. Yep. I just knew about the library science.
No, I got the fine arts degree first, and then realized that I couldn't get a job, and realized I only needed to take I only needed one more year of college of courses to get the computer science
degree. You ran the numbers.
Yep, I ran the numbers, and I only needed one more year to get the computer science degree, and so I went for it, and I got that.
Yeah. All right.
I And the thing is when I get up on stage and I perform for people, and without language, that's impossible. I can't hold an audience for half an hour without language. I'm going to go...
I mean, you're making an awful lot of assumption about how long you can... Never mind.
I mean, it's really not an assumption. I've been doing it for four, five years.
Numbers are not your strong point, is what we're
doing. I have empirical data that I can hold an audience for half an hour, but that's beside the point. I'm going to go with maths. And yes, I am using the in my mind,
the British pronunciation?
Plural. But yeah, I think I'm going to...
My shock is palpable.
Yeah.
I am palping it.
Boy, I can't wait till this COVID's over and we can palpitate something else.
Ew.
All right. Second email. There was no wrap-up on this one. We're just going to dive right into the second email.
All right.
Question number one.
Straight to the point.
We have the same spelling, so I'm going to go psychical or figurative.
Okay. Might have been copied and pasted.
No, that is definitely a typo. It is supposed to be physical, because the context is: Would you rather be able to see through physical objects, i.e., walls, clothes, or through figurative things, lies, false promises, and false feelings?
Figurative
all day. Yeah, Jenna's right.
I have such a hard time with metaphors sometimes, or insinuation. Like, some people will be like, I'll be like, hey, do you want me to do this thing? And they're like, well, if you want. And I'm like, I hear that is, well, if you want. But apparently to a lot of people, that means yes. So then I don't do the thing. And people are like, why didn't you do it? And I'm like, because you didn't say you... I don't...
Yeah?
Yeah, but physical...
Tell me yes or no.
With physical, you can see people naked. I know.
Yeah.
I know. I just made it creepy. I'm fully aware. I feel like, does figurative language include coded language? And by that I mean what exactly? Because I feel like what Jenna was saying was not lies or false promises or false feelings that you see through. That's more of a decoding. And that's kind of where I'm hanging up on this, is what Jenna's talking about. Is that a seeing through, or is that a decoding?
I mean, I'd like to do both, but I'll also just take the seeing through the lies.
That is a strong, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm still with figurative for either, but yeah. Either way, my answer does not change.
Same.
I think in my superhero fantasies, seeing through physical things would be really cool, but you know what I mean? Like, see, I can see through walls, I'm going to be a superhero, but on the other half of that is once I see the bad guys committing the crime, I actually have to do something about it, and I'm not going to I get my ass handed to me, so I think I've got to
go. Do you have any other superpowers, like heat vision or super speed? No, but I can tell you exactly where they are right now.
They're over there. We'll stop them. Way. Are you kidding? Look at this dad bot. I'm not stopping shit.
I'm stopping a cheeseburger.
Hey, everybody, you might want to check that out over there. I'm getting a Coke. I think Jenna's sold me on the figurative.
Yeah.
Woo!
Go, Jenna.
Balancing things. Superpower.
Ooh. Question number two. Oh, interesting. Would you rather be able to swim 3 times faster than you can now, or run 1.5 times faster than your current speed? I'm still going swim on this one, personally.
Yeah, I don't run. That would be useless to me.
Okay, The one time where running at 1.5 speed would work is when I have to get across site because I have a gig in 5 minutes.
that would be
really fucking useful. But I'm still going swim.
Actually, I don't swim very often either. I prefer swimming, but I think the likely I would have more cases for running.
Yeah, plus
Plus,
being able to swim 3 times faster would mean that you can get across site even faster on some days.
That's true. That's true.
No, I had a brief thought of, well, if I can swim 3 times faster than I can now, I'd, you know, go to the Olympics. And I was like, no, even at 3 times my current speed, I still wouldn't make the Olympics. I am switching to run.
No?
For the reason I mentioned, I could get across site faster, because there's been a few times I've had to book it, and I would get way more use out of it.
I know the answer to this because, just from practical use, in Breath of the Wild, you can wear armor that increase your speed on land, or armor that increase your speed in the water. And I use the water ones, but I don't use the land ones. Hmm.
Well, that sounds like science.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. And so if James is ever transported to a fantasy land, then that will be useful.
Yay!
I mean, but here's the thing. We do live in the land of 10,000 lakes, so stumbling upon a lake here is not outside the realm of possibility.
It's true.
All right.
That's very true.
Literally stumbling. Yeah.
All right. Question number 3, vertical or horizontal? Would you like to live in a world where you do not have any fall damage or have infinite sprint?
Oh. Fuck.
I'm going with fall damage. Yeah, it seems more likely that I would fall. Like when I fell down all of those stairs, I would love to have not taken damage from that.
I can see a lot of circus performers put out of business if there's no fall damage.
That's true.
Wait, say the context one more time.
All right. Would you like to live in a world where I will read this word for word. Would you like to live in a world where you not have any fall damage or have infinite sprint? So it is just you. I stand corrected. It is just you.
Okay. I'm like, wait a minute. I thought it was just the individual. Because if the entire world had infinite sprint, how could we tell the difference?
That's true.
We may actually all have infinite sprint right now. You don't even know.
I apologize if I am misreading any of this, because I have gone through a few fingers of this bottle of scotch.
And you're real tired, because it's not like you've been sleeping.
Salsa's got a few fingers in him.
I would immediately go for fall damage and join the circus.
Because
there's a sideshow act in that.
Oh, yeah.
I would immediately be like, Evel Knievel's got nothing, and then just biff it every time. And people would come for the spectacle of watching me biff it every time.
Yep.
Infinite sprint. I feel like that's a superhero thing.
But James, even if you had infinite sprint, you'd still be late.
This is true. I would spend all of my time climbing things, jumping off and landing in that superhero pose.
Yes.
The 3-point superhero pose.
Oh my yeah. God, yeah.
I mean, there is that. Huh.
Yeah, I'm in. I'm in. Just in.
Oh man, what an entrance in a theatrical production. Like, imagine that, where you're just like, what's going on? And suddenly, boom, there he is. What?
Yes.
That'd be so fucking cool. Yeah, no, I'm going vertical. All right. Question number four. Muppets or anime?
Muppets.
When you die, would you like a recap of your life done in the form of a puppet show or some form of anime?
Puppets all the way.
Puppets.
Oh my fucking God,
puppets.
Yes.
All day yep. long puppets. Don't even need to discuss that one. Moving on. Question number five, math or language? Would you rather have the ability to solve any math formula / equation in your head, or be able to communicate in any existing language with perfect proficiency? Second one for me, all day long, every day.
Yep.
Yeah, I got to switch to language. I have computers.
Yep. Language.
Compute things.
Yep. All right.
I can teach myself math. Mm-hmm.
Ash wraps this up by saying, oh, this is brilliant. Ash wraps this up by saying, here is a dumb joke to wrap things up. What,
yay.
James, what are Mario's overalls made of?
Denim.
Oh, my God.
Ash does say, if it does make sense, try the answer to original Mario tune of World 1-2. I think that meant if it doesn't make sense, try the answer to the original Mario tune of World 1-2. No, we were with you on that
all
one.
All over
Ash.
It.
Yeah, we got it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
We're picking up what you're laying down. We picked it up before you even dropped it. Hey, everybody. Who's got a shout-out?
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Stem.
I do.
Shout it out.
Shout it out loud.
Oh, all right. All right. We are three white folks. And as much as we can voice our opinions on things, I would always recommend getting other voices, and especially right now, having other voices to talk about things is powerful and important. So I'm going to recommend a few other podcasts. The first one is Fake the Nation. Another one is Code Switch. And Food for Thought, and Thought is THOT. Those are the three that I'm going to recommend off the top of my head. Also, Stuff You Missed in History Class, I will send to Salsa and include a link to a few of their episodes.
Link all of them to me, but
yeah, including the Tuskegee Syphilis Study, which is
listen to that one just recently.
Incredibly important. The
Black Wall Street, I assume you're also going to do.
Yep, and also the New Orleans 1900 race riot. Mm-hmm.
Did they do a Tulsa run too?
Yes, they did.
Yep.
That's the same one as their Black Wall Street.
That's right. Yep.
Yep.
I listened to that one.
And many others. It's a podcast of quality, but
Stuff You Missed in History Class.
Right,
if you don't already listen to that one, fuck you.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you? Fuck you. That was a seriously. What on earth is wrong with you? We've told you about this one. But yeah, go ahead and link
today,
those. Link those.
You get to be one of the 10,000.
Link those to me, and I will put those in the show notes. Jenna?
I just want to double up on what James said, honestly. Well, okay. So I'm gonna support what James said, because yeah, we're three white people talking. But I also want to give a shout out to all of those people that are helping. People that are cleaning, people that are donating, people that are writing or amplifying voices, much like James just did. But this isn't for you, James. People that are donating money or time, food items, people that are supporting in ways that you might not see. There has been just so, like, every time I go out to go take a look at damage, people have already done a vast amount of cleanup. So yeah, I wanted to give a shout out to the helpers. In the words of Mr. Rogers, or his mom, actually, look for the helpers. And there are so many, I can't list them all. I can't even list all of the ways people are helping.
I think the way that really resonated with me was, I don't remember who said this, but not everybody can be a combat class. Some people need to be support class. You know, we need healers. We need bards. As much as I never thought I would ever say that in my life, we need bards. you know, we need the druids. You know, we need the yeah, we need support, and the people out there doing good work. I want to give a shout out to all of the people protesting in other cities outside of Minneapolis, who are doing it in solidarity of what happened here. You are seen and you are appreciated, even though you, in some cases, have no skin in the game. Maybe that was a poor choice of words. What happened here in Minneapolis?
The specific situation.
The specific situation that happened here in Minneapolis. It's very easy for somebody in Seattle to say nothing and move on with their life and nothing would ever change. And the fact that there are people in Seattle, there are people in Dallas, there are people in DC, there are people in Tokyo and Berlin that are supporting what is happening here is very meaningful. So that's the shout outs. Who has something to plug?
We're going to be announcing it by the time this podcast comes out, but we were set to have our first Fringe Friday this Friday for the Adventurous Artist Group, and we have decided to delay that until a more appropriate time.
Sure.
Seems
so if you were looking forward to that, sorry.
Continue to look further forward.
We're just providing more opportunity for you to build that anticipation. Yeah, there we go. Spin on that.
I know, right?
But yeah, it is important to us as adventurers. Honestly, I found out a lot of the people that are working on this are in hotspot areas and live along Lake, and I'm just like, oh, hey neighbor, how are you doing?
I am actually... So like oh, go ahead.
Yeah. There's some of it that's like, I mean, we're tired, but also it is just not the right time to do it. There are other things that everybody needs to be focused on right now, most especially George Floyd.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I did have this thought at one point, but I'm wondering what art is going to come out of this. You know? Like, what is going to be the painted black of this week? You know what I mean?
Right.
So, James is looking confused.
Gotcha.
Okay.
I also have something to plug.
Go ahead.
This month's this is the 1st of June, and we have 2 Ville shows this month. We have Ville 10, which is our all non-male cast. So it is women
non-male
and
presenting,
and non-male presenting, non-binary.
Okay.
Yes. And then we also have Ville 10 Interruptus, which is coming up well soon. So get your tickets for your own couch.
Yep.
And we'll see you there.
All right. As always, get those links to me, and I will put those in the show notes. Any final thoughts to this fairly raw, emotional episode?
I mean, my biggest thing, and I said this earlier, but I'm going to reemphasize this, is to not lose the message of the tragedy that happened. Mm-hmm. In amongst all of this, the catalyst for this is that George Floyd died by the hands of city officials, of not city officials, by the police. By people that are supposed to be protecting and serving. Mm-hmm. With courage and compassion is the other portion of that. And there was no compassion. There was just... Yeah. So don't lose the message, not only that this has happened to George Floyd, but that this has happened to so many other people in the Black community, and that these aggressions, up to and including death, although other harassments, microaggressions, all the rest of that take place on a consistent basis. Even with all this chaos, what the chaos creators are trying to do is detract from that message, and don't let them.
Well, now I feel shame.
Just looking at you, I could have told you that.
I feel shitty following this up, but I found the Spider-Man thing.
Yes.
It is. I will post a link to this in the show notes as well. But it is Marvel artist Brent Schoonover, who's, like I said, Marvel artist and local. It says all proceeds go to Lake Street Council to help small businesses rebuild. And it's a pretty fantastic original work of art from somebody who is a good guy. So that's that.
Yeah.
I will post that.
I would also like to say bye-bye. Love you, bye.
Bye-bye. All right, if that is all, then I will say thank you so very, very much to Ash for providing a non-emotional Fast Five right at the moment when it was needed. Thank you very much for that. Thank you to everybody who has been listening to this podcast, and thank you to everybody who is out there day in, day out, fighting for justice, whatever that form may take. As always, thank you from myself and James and Jenna. Eat the fucking cake.
Come here, my rubber orangutan. Let me feel your nipples.